Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for what you have done with us, what you're doing with us, and Father, what you're going to be doing with us. Lord, may we just really trust you. Continue to trust and to love you. And in loving you, love those around us. Father, help us. Help us to be your people, Lord, in our deeds, in our actions, and our words. Bless this time, Lord. May your word encourage each and every heart that is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Last night, we got back from our mission trip, and we really did believe, and I really do believe that Jesus had sent us again to Kenya. And looking back, you know, we could see, as we just saw in the pictures and all, that God did some awesome things while we were there. And many of you gave something extra for this mission trip over and above your normal giving that you would ordinarily give, your tithes and offerings and all that. And I believe that the Lord wants you to know that you will be rewarded. And I didn't feel led to do this kind of a teaching before we went because I didn't want you to think that I was trying to manipulate you into giving. I'll never do that. I don't ever want to be seen as doing that. I don't want you to ever feel like you're being manipulated. Because you know what? God doesn't need us. He'll use us. He'll use what we give to him. But he doesn't need us. We need him. And in Matthew 10, Jesus sent out the 12 to teach and to preach the gospel. And starting in verse 40, he lets them know how those sent out and those helping them to be able to carry out their mission were of equal importance and they'll be rewarded equally. And starting in verse 40 through 42, he says, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Excuse me. As they went about their journey, they could expect people to receive them into their homes, feed them, and give them help to help them continue on their mission. And whatever their motivation, these people that gave, whether they believed the Lord's apostles to be prophets, those helping would receive the reward of a prophet because they were helping a prophet in their minds, in their hearts. That's what they were doing. And if they just believed that the 12 to be righteous men sent by the Lord, then those helping would receive a righteous man's reward. But notice in verse 42 that even if they just gave them a cup of cold water, that giver could still expect to be rewarded. In Mark 9:41, Jesus said it this way, "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." And Hebrews 6:10, we're told, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." See, we know that we'll receive rewards for the good that we do with right motives and right attitudes at the judgment seat of Christ. Those things that we were able to accomplish in Kenya, that's part of the things that you will be rewarded for. And you can look up the judgment seat of Christ and later on in Romans 14:10 or 2 Corinthians 5:10. But Paul had this very thing in mind when he wrote to the Philippians, and he was thanking them for their support during especially the early years of his ministry, which were really the early years of the gospel. In Philippians 4:15-17, he said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Paul wasn't all about the gifts that they were giving. He wasn't, they might give me this and they might give me that. He was wanting them to receive eternal rewards for their generous giving to support him as he preached the gospel. That's what was his motivation for thanking them and encouraging them. That's really what he was all about, is blessing the people around him and really seeing them blessed, seeing them blessed by the Lord. After he had been through there, after he had been used there, he went on and he continued to preach the gospel. And later on in his ministry, he wrote both to the church at Rome and to the Corinthian church some things about that. And in Romans 15:24 and 2 Corinthians 1:16, he wrote to both of those churches and said that as he went through there, he expect to receive help from them on his way to where God had called him to minister. He wrote to them expecting that they were going to help him. And after reminding them of the fact that God loves a cheerful giver, and there's been so many thousands of sermons preached on that verse, but Paul actually begins to pray a blessing on the church at Corinth for their giving, because they had already helped a lot. And it's interesting what is said in there. And I think once you hear this and you consider this, I think you'd be blessed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, he says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." See, by their giving, they had sown seeds that produced fruits as Paul was enabled to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he preached it where it had not been preached before. The hearers, upon hearing the gospel, were born again and they experienced righteousness in Christ. What fruit, huh? What awesome fruit. Something that may not be apparent, though, is that Paul is actually making a reference to an Old Testament passage concerning God's Word, where God is speaking Himself in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." The Corinthian church, by giving to Paul's missionary work, was making it possible for Paul to spread the word of God, and that would produce fruits of righteousness. People would be repenting from their sin. They'd be turning from their idols and turning to Jesus Christ. Righteousness would flourish because of what he was doing, because the word of God never goes out and returns void. See, whatever our team was doing in Kenya, whether it was at the pastors' conference, and like I said, it was huge for them. You know, we would look at it and go, "Oh, that wasn't a very big pastors' conference," but it was the biggest one that they had ever seen. They were really amazed. I had been told several times that, "Man, this was something. This is something that everybody's going to be talking about." For months, that many pastors from so many different churches, so many different denominations, were gathered together to hear the Word of God. Folks, and they heard the Word of God. The pastors were encouraged, and there were some doctrinal things set straight. You heard two of the teachings that I did. I taught a couple weeks before we left, on the gifts of the Spirit, and I forgot what the other one was. But this is the Word of God. in the children's field day. They're playing with them and all that stuff, but they shared the gospel with them. Those kids got to hear the gospel. The VBS, the puppet shows and all that they did, and the different crafts, it was all about the gospel. It was all about the Word of God. The little popsicle stick trees that you saw there, that was Zacchaeus up in the tree listening to Jesus. That was what that craft was all about. And you know, they got to hear the gospel through that. And then the balloons, you couldn't see it or you couldn't hear it even, but there were little nuts in there, you know, like a nut and a bolt kind of thing. There were nuts in there, and as they spun the balloons around, it made the sound, and that was for what? That was the trumpet sound that was calling. And there was a number of things that they did at VBS that brought the gospel to those kids. That word of God that they heard will stick in their hearts for the rest of their lives. It'll dual work. The teacher training, think about that. That there's a bunch of Sunday school teachers now. Some of them had never taught Sunday school. Some of them had never seen the need for Sunday school, but over the last couple of years, not only have they started doing Sunday school, but now the teachers are getting encouraged. In fact, this year, my wife, you know, God really put on her heart that, you know, the year before, they brought materials and how to do Sunday school and use this material and that and that. But God really put on my wife's heart this year to teach the teachers how to use just the Bible to put together a Sunday school lesson. And they were blessed. They were totally blessed on that. And you think about what kind of impact that's going to happen. Do you know, how many of you guys know Dwight L. Moody? You've heard of him. Moody Bible Institute and so many other things. Do you know he was won to Christ by a Sunday school teacher? His Sunday school teacher went to the shoe store that he was working at as a clerk and shared the gospel with him just one-on-one. Say, man, I haven't seen you in Sunday school, and what's going on? And then just really just face-to-face shared the gospel. And look what one Sunday school teacher did in the heart of one person and the effect that it had on the world. Imagine what God's going to do through all of that. The women's conference. You know, you may have seen, okay, it wasn't jam-packed, but the problem was it was on the same day as the pastor's conference, and they got a lot of women pastors there. And a lot of the gals, they wanted to be at both places at the same time, so there was kind of a conflict there. But the women's conference, sharing the things that our ladies shared with them, it was the Word of God that was shared there. The several teachings, at the different Kenyan churches there. The teachings that went out and that, they were teaching and preaching the Word of God. There will be lasting fruit from that. And folks, understand, those of you who gave, those of you who prayed for us, and I know that prayers were happening 24/7, you guys are going to be rewarded for all of that that is accomplished through what we did. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that awesome? No, I know you didn't do it to get a pat on the back. We should never do it to get a pat on the back. I know you did it because you love the Lord and you love what He loves. And He loves people. I know that, but you know, God wants you to know that He's not going to forget what you did, that's on your account. Because you entered into the labor that we went out there, yeah, but you prayed for us, you provided for us, and we were able to do what we did because you guys were here being involved just as much as we were out there. In verse 11, back in 2 Corinthians 9, he says, "While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Now, at first, that sounds like just a bunch of words, but first of all, notice why God would enrich them. He said, for all liberality. That was the reason why He was enriching them. I like the way the NIV words this verse. He says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, God wasn't going to bless them materially just so that they could get rich and consume it on themselves. He was going to increase their ability to be generous. That's what he says he's going to do. God would see to it that they could give even more. And as with everything God gives us, we're to be conduits of his grace. God blesses us, gives to us, and he says, all right, freely you've received, now freely give. And we're able to do that. The result of their giving, though, and this just has always blessed me. When I first understood what this thing was talking about, this verse, it blew my mind. He says, causes thanksgiving through us to God. Not only was Paul and his traveling companions thanking God for their giving, and no doubt that would happen, right? And I was thanking God for how he supplied through you guys. But think about this. Those receiving salvation through Christ, through the preaching that Paul was doing, would be thanking God eternally for their salvation, for this guy Paul that came and preached the gospel to him. And it was because, he says, it was through your giving, through your liberality, through your generous giving, that these people, it would cause people to be thanking God. Think about that. Those in Corinth, you know, who gave to Paul so that he could preach the gospel, had made that thanksgiving possible. All the work we did and all the lasting effects, the changed lives, the furtherance of the gospel by those we taught and those we preached to, it was made possible in part by your generosity. And you won't lose your reward. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? Isn't that a blessing? In verses 12 through 14, he goes on and says, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. What funds the church supplied and continues to supply to our Kenyan brothers and sisters not only supplies their needs, feeding the children at Shalom Learning Center, helping a number of ways there. But like I've shared with you before, this church pays the rent for the Eastleigh Church. That's the church that gave me this shirt. They made me an honorary Ethiopian. It's a number of Ethiopian refugees that had to flee persecution, and they're living in Kenya, most of them waiting for the UN to transplant them to another nation. Some of them have actually been able to come to the U.S., but it's just such a blessing to be there and to be with them and there, and they just, you know, wanted to thank me and that, because usually every time we come, I preach, and this time I let one of the other guys teach. I just felt moved by the Lord to, you know, let somebody else do it and let somebody else get the blessing. But they just want to say thank you, and so they gave you this. But, you know, what we do for them and some of the other things that go on, it's all causing God to be thanked and praised. These people are thanking God for what we're doing for them. He even shared that since he hooked up with Isla Wee and Garments of Praise, that God has met so many of their needs, not just through Garments of Praise and through the churches that help, but, you know, he has shared with me and all how God has taught him to trust and taught him to trust God for, you know, what God would supply. And he's watching God work, and the teachings are strengthening the pastors and their flock. But something, you know, something to think about there. You know, when you think about what God does through us, and when he works through us, it causes people to praise God and to thank God. Isn't that an awesome thing? Isn't that what we should be all about? I mean, we talk about God be glorified in my life, right? You be glorified, Lord. Well, isn't that what it is? Isn't that glorifying to God when people are thanking and praising God because of something that we did? And really, it's not us, it's God through us, right? I mean, God's given us the ability to do whatever we do. And that, man, that alone should be reward enough for us to be able to sit on the sidelines and go, yay, God, people are praising you, yeah! You know, and that's so cool. But something else that he mentions here, if that's not a blessing enough, Paul mentions that those people that were helped by the church at Corinth were now praying for the church at Corinth. Folks, do you know that our Ethiopian and Kenyan brothers and sisters are praying for us here? That they tell us, they've told me that they pray for us now. Our hearts are kind of knit together and they pray for us all the time. What a cool thing that is, huh? And understand, God hears their prayers just as much as he hears ours. We sometimes get such a goofy idea as to our place within the body of Christ. Like somehow we're better than other churches, other people groups and all that. We're not. Man, those guys love Jesus. They're passionate about their worship. You know, their church services last 3 or 4 hours each. And nobody whines and complains. You know, every time I've taught at one of their churches, I never see anybody looking down at their watch. Most of them don't own watches, but that's aside the point. However, most of them have cell phones, and when they check the time, they do that. But I never see them doing that. Their worship, the praise and worship is usually, 45 minutes or so. And man, they get into it. But they love the Lord. And to think about that, they're praying for us. I don't know about you, man, but I dig on that. And I am so excited about that. Yeah, that is just so awesome to think that they're praying for us. And just to keep everything in perspective about giving and who gives and receives and all that, who the greatest giver in all of this is, verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. None of us will ever top that gift, huh? How God the Father gave his only begotten Son to die in our place. All we gotta do is believe in him, put our trust in him, and we're saved. What an awesome God we serve, huh? Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for how you have used our team. We thank you how you are using this little church to spread your word halfway around the world. Father, thank you. Lord, may we constantly be looking for ways where we can glorify your name, where we can share your truth with those around us, whether it's halfway around the world or whether it's across the street or our next door neighbor. Help us, Lord. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's praise him with one last song before we...